For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
How's everybody doing? Good. I'm feeling good because I finally moved back to Bakersfield. I got my home, man, and I feel good. Didn't have to drive 2.5 hours this morning. I'm back in Bako. Yes, the streets of Bakersfield. Well, are you ready to hear God this morning?
Yes.
Okay, He's going to show up. Let me pray a real simple prayer. Father God, we need to hear You. We need to hear You. Give us the ability to shut everything else out and put our thinking caps on right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been having some joint pain lately. I've become vegetarian finally. I'm kind of sticking with it. But I've had some joint pain the last week, really getting kind of bad. And God spoke to me. He said, man, didn't I tell you 4 weeks ago, stay hydrated? I mean, honestly, I know my way of living for God is strange to some people, but it's the deal. It's the deal. And God spoke to me. He said, I told you a week, and He did, a week ago. I mean, He divinely told me you're not staying hydrated. You have to stay hydrated. I mean, God does that for me. He guides me every step of the way. And I started drinking a lot of water again, started staying hydrated, and all the joint pain left. Wow. Now, I got a rhema for someone. We're starting out really strong this morning. You've been praying and praying, but God's already told you what to do. He's already told you. He doesn't need to tell you again. How many times did our parents say to that? I already told you. That's for somebody here. Then I had something else happen this week, and because I believe in Ephesians 6:12, I believe our battle is not against flesh and blood, this thing was very similar to something I went through a year or two ago, and in both situations, I saw what I believe to be the fingerprints of demons on it and the devil. And so I was thinking the last 2 days going, could this be demonic? And then the same person that wrote me the message that day, this person is now my Charlie Garcia, wrote me a message with 1 Peter 5 and 8 in it. And here's what she wrote last night. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I believe that God was saying this has enemy fingerprints on it. And I'm going to say to you, a rhema, some of you right now are in the first steps of the enemy trying to bring you down. He doesn't do it all at once. He gets you in a place to where it seems so non-conspicuous. But He wants you in a downward trajectory. And He's already started in your life for some. He's already started. And if you let Him continue, you're going to go all the way down in that downward trajectory until He has you right where He wants you. So I give you that message to say, turn around now. Turn around. Take authority. Turn around. Just go back up the stairs. You're going down. It takes stair step levels to get to some places that people get to. So go back up. That's what you have to do. It could be drugs, alcohol, porn, affair. Some of you might be in the first steps of getting too friendly with somebody. It could be health issues. It could be bitterness issues. You say, how do I know if these rhemas are for me? For lack of a better word, you have a burning in the heart. Your heart will burn. You'll just know. You'll just know. Say it with me, you'll just know. Two guys are on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has died, resurrected. They don't know it yet. And they're walking down this road and they're conversing with one another about what had just happened. in the city, in Jerusalem. And they're talking, going, man, you know, some people say he's resurrected. Man, why? I don't know. What do you think? What have you heard? And Jesus actually joins them and starts walking with them. And he starts conversing with them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus disappears. Look at Luke 24, 32. And after Jesus disappears, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scripture to us? Were not our hearts burning inside of us? We should have known that that was the Lord giving us rhemas, that the Lord was speaking to us through scripture. You'll know it's a burning. Look at 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is very real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. Matthew 4:4. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every rhema. That's rhema that comes from the mouth of God. And again, it's redundant, but we tend to get off course, and God has to bring us back in, and he does that at church a lot. And today he's bringing some of you back in. Now, I use this illustration in my book, Tribal Influence. Gene Niddick, a 214-pound homemaker, was desperate to lose weight. So she went to the New York City Department of Health, and she was given a diet created by Dr. Norman Joliffe. 2 months later, she was still discouraged about the 50-plus pounds she still needed to lose. So she invited 6 overweight friends to her house to share diets and to encourage one another and how to stay on diets. They would converse and fellowship. Now for over 50 years, over 1 million members attend over 250,000 Weight Watchers meetings in 24 countries every week. Gene was asked the question. Someone said, what motivated you to start helping others lose weight? And she answered by telling the story. She says, when I was a teenager, I used to walk through a park a lot. And I would see little kids on their swings while their mothers were busy gossiping. And I would just go over and give the kids a push. She said, because you know, once you give kids a push and they get going, you know what automatically happens then? They start pumping and they start doing it themselves. And I thought, ditto. That's what I'm called to do. To give you guys a push and let God take it from there. So, when you come to church every Sunday, I'm just going to push you a little bit. Reminds me of another story. One more. It just reminds me. A guy gets a knock at his door at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's alarmed. Well, what is it? He goes to the door and says, and he doesn't even open the door. He speaks to us. Well, what do you want? And the guy says, I need a push. His wife said, dear, it's okay. Just some nice guy. I think you're okay. Why don't you go out and give him a push? He needs help. And so the guy gets dressed and, okay, I'm gonna listen to my wife. As he walks out the door, he hears the guy over in the dark, over in the swing set going, I need a push. That's weird. It had nothing to do with my sermon. It just came to me. Yeah, that's weird. I would go right back in the house and get my gun. Oh. We are in between series. This is a freebie. Me and Pastor Doug call it a freebie. Next week, if the Lord be willing, we're going to start a series on Jonah. And it's going to be a 3 or 4 week series, but today's a freebie. I have been wanting to preach another sermon on a subject I preached on a couple years ago, and this subject has had more profound influence on me than anything that I preached in 2 or 3 years. That's why I've been wanting to do it again. I don't care if it's redundant. Apostle Paul says, it's not a big thing for me to repeat the same thing to you again. This message that I'm going to share with you again today, it's not the same one, but it's the same subject, has had a real strong effect on my life. And the message is called, Why Not? Why Not? Now, let's start out with a story in Mark 10 this morning. 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Now let's hold this one for just a second. Why was Bartimaeus blind? We don't know. But his name means son of the unclean. Could have been from gonorrhea, could have been a transmitted thing, it could have been syphilis. Someone suggested vitamin deficiency, we don't know. But he's blind. He's left out. This certain area that he's in this story right here, is one of the busiest intersections in the world during that day. Bartimaeus feels left out. He probably hears people going by every day talking and joking and laughing, and they're going to do business here and there, but he feels left out. Nothing's happening for him. He's in an isolated, lonely world by himself. Is anybody with me yet? Maybe that's you. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him. Maybe I heard one pastor say, probably the apostles, disciples rebuked him, told him to shut up, and told him to be quiet. But he shouted out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." I heard somebody say, "That's funny." The same guys that told him to shut up, now they have to humble themselves and go over and minister healing to him. Be slow to speak. Slow to speak, my friend. Slow to speak, slow to, but be quick to hear. So they have to humble themselves, go back over, call him. So they call to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, now this shows faith right here. He throws his cloak aside. He must be expecting to be healed. Because in those days, very often the cloaks that a blind man wore, they were striped in color to let people know they were an official beggar. He threw it aside. He must have faith that something was going to happen. And he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Now again, Jesus probably knew, but it's God's style that he wants to hear from our lips our needs. So he said, "Well, he knows my needs. Why do I need to pray?" He wants to hear it from your lips. Remember the story in the Old Testament where the angel of God wrestled with Jacob and said, "What's your name?" He knew his name. He wanted him to say, "Heel catcher. I'm conniver." That's what he wants it to come out of our mouth. Some of you just think God's going to take care of it. No, he wants you to bring his needs to and audibilize them. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Wow. Why not? Why not shout out? Isn't the potential benefit worth the risk of being embarrassed? Why not? He had nothing to lose. I like that kind of person. Had nothing to lose. Almost 46 years ago, when Debbie was leaving me and taking little Tara with her, I said, "God, I need you. If you're real, I need you." And I cried out, "Why not? What did I have to lose?" And say, "Prove me yourself to me. Prove to me that you're real. Why not?" And later on, I'm having this crazy vision of a building and hanging a sign. And I thought, why not start a church? Now, you got to remember, in those days, no one started a church. You had to go to Bible school. You just didn't start a church. Somebody going to law school, you didn't start a church. Why not? I had a job, so it didn't cost me anything. I was working, and I was doing it simultaneously with working, so why not follow the promptings of your heart and start a church in Vegas? Why not? I asked myself that day, why not, when I'm talking to this lunatic kid, and I go, in the name of Jesus, demon, tell me who you are. I thought, why not? I don't know if this world's, why not? And then we said, my name's Largus, and I'm going to kill this kid. I go, oh my gosh. Do you understand? A lot of people knock the way we live, but they don't have the courage to live, why not? Now, I'm not going to take other people's opinion. Well, demons don't exist today. Deliver. No, I'm going to find out for myself. Why not? I want to know the truth. Why not? Peter in Matthew 14. Why not? Say, Jesus, bid me to come to you walking on water. Why not? What have I got to lose? And because he did the why not and said, Jesus, bid me to come. He got to tell the story to his grandkids. He could be sitting by a pool today going, see that stuff? I've walked on it before. Yeah, I walked 100 feet. You could walk on that stuff if you have to. I mean, what a story to tell everybody. Amen. How many of you tried to walk on water? Oh, just three of us? I was the first Christian. I tried. I almost drowned. Acts 16, 6 through 15. And Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the who? The Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word. Wait, no, hold on. This is so cool. Man, I wish I had more time today. The Holy Spirit said, you're not going to preach the word there. Whoa. The Holy Spirit said, I don't want preaching here. I get so angry at some Christians that are on this autopilot thing, and they just go on preaching to everybody. That's not always God's will. Sometimes he says, just be quiet. Live it before him. Don't say anything. You'll run them off. You'll run them scared. And so he, the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they were tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, wait. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Synonyms, huh? Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing up and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding. We made a conclusion that it was God. One way you hear God is a compilation of circumstances. Tried to go over here? Nope. Tried to go over here? Nope. Then they have this dream. They go, that's God. You see how simple they live? Kind of like VBF, huh? That's God. Stay hydrated, Ron. Next day, hydrated. Try to turn, hydrated. Okay, verse. The water, what? That's God. Unless you become converted like a little child, it's never in the kingdom of heaven. America's too sophisticated to find Jesus. We're too sophisticated. So they concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. They go, why not? Let's follow it. Why not? From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and then the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. And on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We go, why not? They're praying, going, let's go to the river. What do you think? That sounds good. Yeah, I kind of thought the river. Why not? Let's just try it. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of these listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. She was also extremely rich. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded them. And here we have the birth of one of the more influential churches in the New Testament. All because Paul went. Why not? I had a dream. Let's just see if the dream's of God. Why not see if it's from God? Why not? Me, one day, years ago, the guys told me about a 19-year-old young guy in our ministry and a 30-year-old lady had latched onto him and they were living together. And I thought, I just read the story about Jesus cursing the fig tree and the figs all dying, or the tree dying, not the figs. didn't have any figs. And I thought, let's try cursing this relationship, because this old lady 30 should not be with this young 18-year-old guy. Why not? What do I have to lose? Why not? Got the guys together, I'm not afraid. Why not? Let's just curse this one. And the next day they said they saw the lady hitchhiking out of town. And I go, whoa. And then I've done it ever since. Why not? That's the way you learn. Why not? I can risk being embarrassed. I got broad shoulders. I'm secure. I'm feel good in my skin. Why not? Say to me, why not? This has got to get in your heart. Why not at age 22, when I had a prompting in my heart, why not go to someone's house to see if that was God really speaking? This last week I've been watching on Craigslist for a dog, because I moved to my acre now and I want a dog. And I was sitting there and I thought, duh, I can't find a dog. You got a lot of neat friends out there. I love them. Why don't you tell them you need a dog? Why not? Why not? What did this hurt? And you guys offered me over 40 dogs. And I got to say, I love you guys so much. That was so kind. You were all offering to give up your dogs, not a lot of you, and it was really cool. I got the biggest German Shepherd, full blood, named Thor. He's my friend. We already been playing ball this morning, and he's ferocious, and I love him. Why not? I wouldn't have got a dog otherwise. Why not? I think you get the idea. In closing moments, allow me to give you three possible why not areas. And the first one is, for some of you who are having a hard time in life, maybe marriage, finances, maybe a sin that keeps getting you, why not get spiritual counsel? Why not? Can I take authority over that spirit of some of you? Because you're older, some of you are mature, you got your game together. I mean, you've got it together. But sometimes you become too proud and arrogant to hear somebody else's opinion on something. Who am I talking to? We can get there, believe me. We can get there. You can become too proud and arrogant that you should never need to hear God through another person. But that's the way God speaks. See, listen to me. Normally, very often, after you make your prayer request to God, He's going to use another person to speak the answer to you. And those people don't always come tidy and dressed up nice. You won't believe the people I received words from. I've received words over the years from people that I really thought, Lord, forgive me, were a little dysfunctional. But they've given me words. So, some of you, you keep making the same mistakes in life over and over again. It seems strange to me that for many of us, you know, we learn from our mistakes in the areas that matter least. And we don't learn from our mistakes in the matters that are most important. We don't. Example, I was 26 years old. I go to a pastor's retreat. And I'm at 26, man, I was really lifting weights a lot. I was pumping the weights and I was exercising a lot. And I don't know why, but I've always had a thing that breakfast is my biggest meal. I wake up hungry. At 26, man, we'd always go up at this pastor's conference and have a big thing. And so I walked in one morning and noticed that, man, I was hungry. And I was just, anything would work. And I ate and I still didn't have enough, but I noticed almost everybody on their table left their prunes. And I said, I'll take everybody's prunes. Give them to me. I had prunes stacked up like this so much, and I ate them all. I will never do that again. Never. That's a mistake I will not make twice. But that's the way it is. I give you many more lessons that I've learned in smaller areas of life. But usually in the big areas, we don't learn as easily. Why are you going on your third or fourth marriage? Why? Either you're picking them bad or you just can't stay in them. You're not learning from your mistakes. Why have you had financial struggles for 15 years? I believe God's word speaks against that. You might go through times of financial challenges, but not 15 years. Why do you keep going back to porn? Why? Why aren't you learning the lessons that you're supposed to learn? Many of you, as I said a few weeks ago, you live by your emotions. Remember I told you the devil wants, he wants your head. That's why you have to put on the helmet of salvation. He wants you to live by your emotions. And listen to me, emotions don't come down as fast as they go up. And when you're in pain of an ordeal or something you've went through, you're going to be self-absorbed. You're not going to see things clearly. This is where some of you are making a big mistake. I'm doing a mini counseling session right now. For example, have you ever hit your finger with a hammer? Boom! All of a sudden, the emotions go, whoa! And you start being tempted to cuss and everything else. Ah! And someone says, hey, did you see what your dog did when you hit your finger with a hammer? No, I wasn't paying attention to the dog. You see, the Joneses came by and waved at you. I didn't even see the Joneses, man. You know, I was doing everything in my power to keep them cussing. I was hurting so bad. You get the idea. When you're in pain, you lose focus. And until you get clarity of mind, you should not be making any good big decisions at all. Gosh, I get concerned about some of you. Been divorced 3 months, I found somebody else. No. When you're in pain, you're self-absorbed, and you won't hear all the stuff God's saying to you right now at that moment. All the people who's trying to speak in your life, you'll shut them off, but after the pain wears off, you'll start hearing clearly. Go get some counsel. Why not? Why not? The second way not, why not? Why not change up the way you serve God? There's a story. On the first day of the week, the women go to the grave to look for Jesus. Look at Luke 24, 3 through 6. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's moved on. Remember how I told you while he was still with you in Galilee. A lot of you are still trying to serve God the way it's always been done. It's the way my family did it. It's the way my dad and mom did it. Even the church, this is a message for the church. We're trying to serve God the way it's always been done. You go into some churches around Bakersfield today, they have organ playing, they have a choir with robes on, and they're singing out of the songbook, and it's the way it's been done. See, you have a routine, it's the way you've done it for years, maybe the way you were raised. You don't do devotions, you don't have Christian fellowship, you don't serve regularly. You do say a couple short prayers, morning and night. You read a couple verses, go to church when it's convenient. Then you wonder, why don't I have any God stories? Why am I not hearing God like Ron? God's moved on. You're looking for the living among the dead. What you're concerned about, he's not concerned about any longer. He's moved on. This church will keep changing through the years because we're going to move with Jesus. The sons of Issachar said they understood the generation they lived in. God never changes, but the way we present God will. The way we approach God will. Why not change up the way you serve God? Real quickly, before we start ending this, let's give the rules to why not. I gave them before. Rule number one, before you live this why not life, the first rule, is it biblical? Is it biblical? Is what you think you're going to do here, this why not, I'm going to do this, is it biblical or is it illegal? Why not? Why not? T- take an Anointed magazine that you've read and you've underlined the important part. Why not take that and put it in the doctor's office? Why not take it to the car wash and lay it down for someone else to read? It might mean their salvation. Why not? What does it hurt? What does it hurt to buy a pie for your neighbors and say, just thinking about you, hope you have a good, why not? Why not? That kind of stuff isn't done anymore. See, this whole why not's gonna open up a whole new area of living for you like it has me. There's a story in my book, Tribal Influence. Rabbi Michael Weiser lived in Lincoln, Nebraska. And for 3 years, Larry Trapp, a self-proclaimed Nazi and a member of the Ku Klux Klan, he considered himself to be the Grand Dragon. This guy lived to make Rabbi Weiser's life miserable. He would keep sending a torrent of hate-filled mailings, phone calls to Rabbi Weiser. It seemed like his whole purpose in life was to make the rabbi's life miserable. He sent obscene remarks, racial remarks and slurs. And at first, Rabbi Weiser said, I was really afraid. I locked all my doors at night. I was afraid for my family. I was afraid to go anywhere. And then one day, Rabbi Weiser found out that Trapp was 42 years old, clinically blind, and a double amputee. Immediately, he became convinced that this was the reason this man had all the hate in him. So Rabbi Weiser found this guy's phone number, Mr. Trapp, started calling him. He said, I left almost 10 messages, called him. And finally, after 10 phone calls, he picked up the phone. He says, why are you harassing me? How it turns. He said, I'm not harassing you. I just really feel a burden for you, and I want to tell you there's a different way you can live. And told him about that different way he could live. And he said, by the way, could I maybe take you to the grocery store or the mall? I would love to give you a ride. And he accepted. And Trapp was stunned. He was disarmed by the rabbi's kindness, and it got him to thinking. And later on, he admitted, through a teary face, he had tears in his eyes when he admitted, he said that I heard something I'd never heard before in ages in the rabbi's voice. They said, what was that? He said, love, love. He finally called the rabbi one night and said, I want to change my life. I don't want to live this way anymore. He gave up his swastika rings. He gave up his Ku Klux Klan robe. He gave up all of his propaganda, all of his material. And he said in the end, he says, he showed me so much love. How could I not return it? Why not? Why not? Why not pick up your phone that just rang and put it on hold and say, listen to this? Why not? So is it biblical or legal? Rule number two, does it present a danger to you or anyone else? You know what? I heard Pastor Ron's sermon today. I haven't had any lessons, but I'm gonna go skydive anyway. No, that's stupid. You owe it to your family to stay alive. Doesn't fit the rules. And number three, is it easy to do? Is it doable? Invite a Hell's Angel to church. That's easy. Text, I love you. Today when you're leaving, some of you have been blessed financially. Put $20 or put a $100 bill on somebody's windshield wiper and just say blessing. Why not? Why not? Why not? Now the last why not, and then I'm going to end. This is in lieu of the shooting, high school shooting again this week, the school shooting. Why not invest in your kid's life more than you ever have before and invest in it at VBF? In my book, Tribal Influence, I talk about the fact that we're all born with a tribal nature. If you're over in Sweden somewhere and you see somebody and you go, are you American? Yeah, me too. Wow, and you have a tribal connection right there. We all have these tribal connections. Abraham Maslow suggested that a need to belong was one of the 8 basic needs in life. Paul McCartney once wrote a song about loneliness in a crowd of people, and he said, all lonely people, where do they come from? All these lonely people, where do they all belong? Another story in my book, Tribal Influence, which will be on sale out in the foyer today if you want to pick up a copy. And again, I don't get any money from these books, okay? It goes to the church. But a young boy was born to a Navajo family. His dad was full-blood Navajo. His mom, who was now divorced from his dad, was half Navajo and half Cree Indian. And one summer morning, dad came in and woke his son up and said, "Son, quickly, get your toothbrush, get a bag of stuff. You're not going to school today. I'm going to take you somewhere. Just get your stuff and get up real quickly." The boy got up not knowing where they were going, got in the back seat of the car, half sleepy, half out of it. And he said, "We drove, it seems like forever, like a whole day, but it was really 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. And he said, "We drove a windy road in the mountains, and finally came this old adobe house. And this wrinkled little Indian lady, obviously, came walking out of the house. And dad said, "Son, I want you to meet your great-grandmother. This is Grandma Chinoa. You're going to spend 3 days here. I've got to go on a business trip." And he said, "Oh, no." The kid's repeating the story, saying, "Oh, man, I don't want to stay with this old lady, this Indian lady. I don't even know for 3 days. Oh, gosh, Dad, don't do this to me." Well, Dad left him, and he said the 3 days flew by. He said Grandma Chinoa was not short of Navajo stories. She'd get up in the morning, fix me something to eat, and tell me about my great Navajo great-grandfather and how he was a hero of the Navajo nation, how he did heroic deeds. "Your great-grandfather was one of the most heroes. They made songs up about him. Your great-grandfather was, oh my gosh, and he did this and this and this," and the boy was just enamored, and then started telling him about his great-uncles, Navajo Indians, who went out there and did these brave things and risked their lives, and how everybody just adored them and idolized them. And he said the 3 days went by like this. He said his dad came and picked him up, and he was ready to go. And he said that with reflection looking back, he said in the book, he said, "You know, on that day, my dad picked me up. I went to see my great-grandma just as a little confused American boy, but I left there 3 days later a Navajo Indian." Wow. Powerful stuff. Our kids are tribal by nature. Listen to me closely. Your kids want to be accepted, and sometimes they don't care who by. This is where you're making mistakes. If they go to school and they happen to be blessed and they're smart, you know what? All the scholastic kids will take them into their crowd, and that'll be a tribe. If they happen to be endowed with athletic ability, the athletes will take them into their crowd and they become a tribe. They have meaning. They'll be happy with that. But if they're not an athlete, they're not smart, the rebels will say, "Hey, do some drugs over here and we'll accept you. Look at some porn over here, we'll accept you. Get a ring in your nose and color your hair, and we'll accept you as the misfits." And it's because of you, parents, it's you. Why not? Why not host youth events at your house? Why not drive a car on youth events? Why not get involved and say, "I'm going to make my kids a VBFer. I'm going to make them one of the group. I'll let them feel their tribal influence here." Why not? Why not? Because they'll get them if you don't. And you dads, again, on pornography, this isn't in my notes, but doggone, grow up. Your kids need you. You need to pour into their lives and stop pouring into your sex. Wow. I could be a preacher. Why not? This will change your life. Why not? Now, I'm going to end in another way today. Why not? You're free to go, but we're going to stand, the rest of us. You're free. You can leave any time during this. We're going to stand and do a worship song on the way out. Now, listen to me. Stand up, and I'll tell you more. Now, here's what we're going to do. Some of you... Why not? You've never raised your hands. Why not? Some of you have never sang. Why not? Others of you, see, you're not forced to. You don't have to sing. Right? You can just stand here. Why not just close your eyes and say, "I'm going to listen"? Or why not just say, "I don't want to sing, but I'm really going to listen"? So we're going to do this. At the end of the song, you're dismissed. Why not? I thought today, I'm going to end with a song. Why not? But right now, Lord God, I ask you to flow through this song and heal people through this song. Heal them. And again, let me remind you, the pure in heart will see God, the Bible says. That word for pure is katharos. It's where we get our word catheter. A catheter flushes the body from poisons. One of the best ways you flush your body from poison is through worship. So you don't have to sing. You can stand. You can close your eyes. You see, let's do this. And at the end, you're dismissed. God bless you.
Now reveal.
for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.